Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And if you want to mark this chapter, this is where we'll be the second hour. Today we're going to look, or in the first hour, we're going to look at verse 6. Let's read this together. It says, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, the Spirit of God takes us here back to the first creation, back to the first creation of the heavens and the earth, because in that creation, God is showing by way of type how He makes His new creation. His new creation is His people that God saves. And He used that first creation of the heavens and the earth to show how He makes this new creation, His people. He told us in Isaiah 65, verse 17, He said, Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. This heavens and this earth we see now is not going to be here forever. In fact, this is not why it was created. God said, Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. He said, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. The new Jerusalem that God creates is a people. You know, a city is not the buildings or the streets, or the businesses. A city is the people. And with God, His new Jerusalem is His people that He's made all brand new. Now, this current creation is held in store right now because God is creating His people anew. He finds us dead, dark sinners, and He doesn't use anything about us to make this creation. He creates us new. And when He's finished the work, this world, this heaven, and this earth shall be dissolved. And there will be the new heaven and the new earth. He said through Peter, the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. And the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. But nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. This whole new creation is the work of God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, so that everybody that is made new are righteous, and everybody that will be in this new creation shall be righteousness by God. Our Lord gave the Apostle John a view of this creation. Go over to Revelation 21. John saw this new creation. And look what he saw. Revelation 21, and we'll begin in verse 1. It says, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. This is after He's made all His people new. And that first earth is, this first earth in heaven's gone now. He said, I saw a new heaven, a new earth. The first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. What does the seas do? They divide. There'd be no more division in this new heaven and this new earth. He said, And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's what Christ's church is described as in Ephesians, as the church who's been prepared by Christ, adorned by Christ for her husband, Christ. He's going to present her to Himself, Scripture says. And this is all His people He's talking about. Look, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. There's no more sin. All those things are the result of sin. There's no more sin. There's only righteousness now. So none of those things will be in this new creation. He says, And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And so in our text, the Spirit of God takes us back to that first creation of the heavens and the earth to show us how that God makes His people a new creation. It was in that first creation that God said, "Let there be light." Now, I pray God will be pleased to work this work and make somebody new here today. Now, first of all, what do we need? We need light. There's going to be life. We're going to have light. He said in verse 6, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light." Now, let's go back to Genesis 1:1. The first creation began by God. And that's how this new creation begins, by God. Look here, Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." God was the creator of the first creation. And God's the creator of the new creation. Now that creation was created out of nothing. And like I said, God's not using something in us to make His new creation. He's making it all brand new. He's doing it all. And look, the earth didn't bring forth light of itself. The heavens didn't bring forth light of itself. Verse 2 says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." God's people don't bring forth light of ourselves, brethren. You see, when Adam sinned in the garden, we fell in Adam, and we became unrighteous. We became without form and void. And when we're born of Adam's corrupt seed, in the deep, in our very nature, we're conceived in sin. That's all our nature is. So that darkness is upon the face of the deep. In our nature, we're all darkness. It was by the three persons of the Godhead that light shined. It was by the three persons of the Godhead that the light shined, and it's by the three persons of the Godhead that the light shines in His people. Look here, Genesis 1:2. "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." There's God the Holy Spirit. That's who's going to move upon His people. God the Holy Spirit moves upon us. And verse 3 says, "And God said, let there be light." God the Father speaks. You know what we're preaching? We're preaching His Word. And God the Father speaks His Word. And He gives the command. The word, Scripture says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light and giveth understanding to the simple." The entrance of His words. And in verse 3, "And there was light." That light that shined in the darkness in that first creation was Christ. It's the Son of God, pre-incarnate Lord Jesus, that shined in that first creation. So you have all three persons in the Godhead involved with bringing forth light. God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son, the light. Now notice that word light there is singular. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Singular. That was on the first day. That light was not made. That light simply shined. When God said, let there be light, the light shined. Then on the fourth day, God made the sun and the moon and the stars and all other lights, plural. Look down at verse 14. "God said, let there be lights," plural, "in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." Verse 19 says, "In the evening and the morning were the fourth day." So that light that shined the first day, that wasn't the sun and the moon and the stars. Who was that light? That light was Christ. Go to John 1. Go to John 1. That was God. That was the beginning, the light that was in the beginning with God, the Word that was in the beginning with God and was God. And that light shined in the darkness. Look here. John 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word." This is before that beginning we read about in Genesis. This is when there was the heavens and the earth hadn't begun yet. This was when there was just God. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Now there's the beginning we just read about in Genesis. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. That's the light that shined back there in darkness in the beginning, in that first creation. That light was Christ. Just as He was the light who shined in darkness all through the Old Covenant, and He's the light that shines in darkness in our hearts. But when He shined throughout the Old Covenant, or when He just shines here, what you see is light around us. And this light comes from Christ. We have light. Everything gets its light from Christ. And when He shines, that's when we'll behold light in our heart. As long as it's just this light, it shines in the darkness. We don't behold Him. So He has to shine in our heart. Look here. It says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is how God's going to make the light shine, through the preaching of the gospel. That's what Paul is declaring in our text. We're going to see that later. But there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe, that is, all his people. And he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Do you know that everybody sitting here, the life we have, just natural physical life, is only sustained because of Christ the light? And yet, unless he shines in the heart, we don't know him. We don't know him. We won't acknowledge him. Look here. He said he was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. How are we going to be made to receive him and acknowledge and bow to the light? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's how they were created. That's how they were born. The Lord declared he's the light. Look at John 8. John 8, verse 12. He said he's the light of his people wherever they are in this world. John 8, 12. He says, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 9, verse 4. He says there, I must work the works of him that sent me. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Look at John 12, 35. He says in John 12, 35, then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knows not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. I'm come into the world that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. Sinner, believe on Christ now while there's time to believe on Christ. The day's coming when there'll be nothing but darkness. It'll be too late then. Believe now. And then Christ the light is the light of that new heavens and the new earth. If you want to go back there to Revelation 21, I can just read this to you. But he says in Revelation 21, 23, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb, Christ, is the light of the glory of God. So now back in our text, in 2 Corinthians 6, 4, 6. Every believer that's created anew, born of God, you know what we do? We give God the glory. We don't glory in ourselves. This is what Paul's doing. He says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light. But Peter said, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation. Why? That you should show forth the praises of Him that hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. See, we praise Him. Thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. And the Scripture says, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. For the first time you'll hear the gospel. And you'll see the blind, the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. When are we going to see Christ and believe the Word? Men think that they go to this Word, they can study the doctrine, they can learn some doctrine, and then by that they discern true doctrine from false doctrine, and thus they believe on Christ. If you read the article I put in the bulletin, the Pharisees thought that. Christ said, you got it all backwards. He said, do the will of God. Believe on me, and then you'll know the doctrine. See, God's got to shine the light and make you know Christ. And then you'll bow to Christ, you'll take His yoke upon you, you'll be ready to learn of Him through this gospel, and then He'll teach you everything. And you'll know it's so. That's how we understand. You know, when we start seeing things and really understanding things, it's not by our studying and our knowledge that we did that. God shined the light to make you see and understand. So that's first the light. God gives the light. Now, second thing we need is knowledge. We need to know God. When He shines the light, what He's doing by shining the light is make you know God, make you have a knowledge of God. Look at verse 6. For God, now take out the parenthesis. Let's go to the next thing. For God hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. The knowledge. Of the glory of God. And where we're going to see Him. In the face of Christ Jesus, the Lord. Remember, He said God is the glory of that new city, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb's the light of His glory. The Lamb's where you're going to see His glory. It's in Christ the light. We're given the light of knowledge. This is what it is when Christ has made wisdom unto us. God, of God are ye in Christ, who of God is made wisdom unto us. This is how God does it. We learn everything looking to Christ. Everything we learn. From the very first hour to the very last hour, we learn from Christ, looking to Christ, beholding Christ. Everything we learn in Christ. Isn't that what Scripture says? Ephesians 5:13 says, all things are reproved, that are reproved, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore? He saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. That's what God says when He shines the light in your heart that we just saw. Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. And now here's where the knowledge comes. And Christ shall give thee light. Christ's going to give you knowledge now. And in Christ we see the very glory of God. We see what Moses saw when God put him in the cleft of the rock. Let's go over there. Exodus 34. This is what's being taught. That's what Moses saw. God, where God put him? Put him in the cleft of the rock. That is, a picture of being put in Christ, the rock. And when we put in Christ, he was made to behold God's back parts. Christ came down and was crucified. And we're made to behold God by looking at Christ. And what do we hold? Behold, the glory of God. We're given the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And here's what Moses had asked to see God's glory. That's what he asked for. I want to see your glory. So here's what God did. Exodus 34:5. He put him in the rock. He covered him with his hand, safe and secure. It says, and the Lord descended in the cloud. And he stood with him there. And he proclaimed the name of the Lord. That's who Christ is. He's the name of the Lord. We behold the name of the Lord when we behold Christ. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, here's the first thing, the Lord, Jehovah. We behold God's glory as being the Almighty God, Jehovah. We behold God Almighty, Jehovah, when? When He gives us eyes to behold Christ the Lord. When we behold Christ the Lord, we behold the Lord. Christ said, he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. So, and then look at this. And then he proclaimed the Lord God. You know, I showed you not too long ago. When God gives these two names together, remember what he's doing? He's making a promise. He's making a covenant. He's showing his covenant word is sure. Because he can swear by no greater. He swears by himself. The Lord God. Everywhere he makes a promise, he says, I, the Lord God, swear unto you. So this is where we behold God's covenant. We behold the glory of God in making his covenant unto us, his covenant glory, when we behold Christ. Listen to Isaiah 42:6. The Lord speaking of Christ. He said, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. When are we going to understand that New Covenant theology is not just a system of doctrine, that the covenant of God is a person when we're made to behold Christ? That's when. He's made to be the covenant in your heart. You behold him as the mediator of a better covenant, established upon better promises. Why is it a better covenant on better promises? Because 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God, every covenant promise God has made to his people, is in Christ, yes, and in Christ, amen, unto the glory of God by us. When we behold that every word God's ever spoken is true and all his covenant promises are sure, is when we behold Christ, the covenant. That's when the covenant's made in our heart, is when we behold Christ, the covenant. And then beholding Christ, we behold the glory of God's abundant goodness to his people for the sake of Christ. He lists a couple of things here to talk some about his goodness. Look here, he said merciful. Merciful. From eternity, God looked to Christ only. And because he looked to Christ only, you know what he did? He withheld from us what we deserved. That's what mercy is. He was merciful to us. He withheld from us what we deserved. The wrath and the condemnation that we earned, he withheld it from us. Why? Because he looked to Christ. When am I going to know that? When I behold the glory of God's mercy in Christ. And then we behold his graciousness. When we behold Christ, we behold the grace of God. He's called the grace of God in Scripture. Capital G. Christ did. When we behold Christ, we behold that God not only has withheld from us what we deserved to have poured out on us, he's given us what we didn't deserve. Grace. All spiritual blessings in Christ according as he chose us in him. Grace. Grace. That's when you behold Christ, is when you behold that. And we see in Christ that he's long-suffering to us. When you behold Christ, you'll realize that it's for the sake of Christ. You see him. You see him holy and righteous and good and perfect. You see him to be the one God's been declaring all along. And then you'll know, I've been rejecting him all along. I rejected him in the garden in Adam. And yet, now you know it was for his sake, Christ's sake, that God was long-suffering and didn't destroy us when we sinned in Adam. And you realize now, all this time I've been denying Christ and calling my mama and my daddy crazy for believing on him. Now I realize God's been long-suffering to me this whole time for Christ's sake. Because he looked to Christ, my mediator, my redeemer, my surety. And then you behold all this abundant goodness and truth that God's shown to you in Christ. In Christ, we behold the glory of God and how abundantly he's been good in everything he's ever done to us and been truthful in everything he's ever spoken to us and done for us. In God, there's no lie, there's no darkness, it's only truth. The only one who is absolutely, thoroughly true and good. And you behold that looking to Christ. He's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, in all goodness. In who? In Christ. And then look at this, Exodus 35:7. In Christ, we behold the glory of God's righteousness. I'm sorry, I want you to stay there in Exodus 35. I'm just going down this list of things he showed Moses. Mercy and truth and long-suffering and goodness and his name, the Lord. His name, the Lord God. And then in verse 7, we see his righteousness in Christ. He keeps mercy for thousands. All those he chose, elected unto salvation, he keeps mercy for them. He forgives their iniquity. That's our iniquity, is swerving in all kind of crooked ways instead of being straight as the law is. That's That's iniquity. Curvy and crooked in all things. He forgives our iniquity and transgression. That means apostasy. That means it's not just that we've broken a law, we've sinned against God. And He forgives our sin. That's what we are in all that we do. He said He forgives it, and that will by no means clear the guilty. You see, when you behold Christ for the first time, you're made to behold. And it dawns on you in your heart. Right here standing before me, I see Him now with the eye of faith. This is the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb who was spotless and perfect so that He could bear my sin. This is the Lamb who bore the stripes that I deserve when God made Him sin for me. This is the Lamb who was made the curse for me. This is the Lamb who justified me by His death, dying the death I should have died. You behold, this is who He is. He's the Lamb of God. And you behold that this one standing before me. I've been led into the holiest of holies now, where Christ sits at God's right hand. There's Aaron, my high priest. And behold in Him, I behold not only He's the Lamb of God, I behold He is the mercy seat. He's the reason God can be merciful and propitious to me and forgive my sin. I look and I behold His blood spilled out of the Lamb on the mercy seat over the broken law for me. And that's when I behold, this is God's righteousness. This one right here is the righteousness of God. He is the one in whom God can be just and uphold His law and honor His law and justify me from all my sins at the same time. Because He bore my punishment. And He is the righteousness of God. And He is the one. He's the just one and the justifier. You behold this looking to Christ. And look at this next thing there in verse 7. And then for the first time, you know, you go around all these days and you're rebellion and men are saying, you know, why would God let bad things happen to good people? Well, then you realize when you behold all this, you realize there are no good people, including me. And whatever God does to them is just. And for the first time, you delight in God's justice. He says, behold, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, to the third, fourth generation. Sinner, let me tell you something. If I could frighten you, I would frighten you right now. Because right now, you that don't know God, you're going to stand before the infinite majesty of God. Scripture says He's so glorious and His light is so bright that no man can stand before Him and live. Nobody can see Him and live. The Scripture says He's a consuming fire. And I'm telling you this right now, without Christ, you're going to meet Him and you're going to be falling into the hands of an angry God. And He's going to pour out justice on you because you don't have Christ the mediator. And when He pours that justice out, when He's done with it, you think the world is bad now and there's darkness now? And then you're going to find out what darkness is because He's going to throw you into outer darkness where Christ is not restraining any man from doing anything. And they can do what they want to do to you. Then you'll find out what it was to have Christ the light, at least upholding everything by His power and restraining men. Outer darkness, where there is no light. But now look at this. John 12:46 says this. He said, I'm come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And I'm telling you, sinner, believe on Him now because if you believe on Christ, you will not abide in darkness. You'll have the light of life now and forever. Now look here in Exodus 34:8 now. Look here with me at this. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and he worshipped. This is what we're sure to do when God makes you behold the glory of God in the face of Christ. He made haste. He didn't linger around. He bowed his head toward the earth and he worshipped God. And for the first time he prayed. He said, if now I found grace in thy sight, O Lord. You see how humble? He didn't take that for granted. He didn't presume. He said, if I found grace in your sight, Lord. O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. For it's a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. When you behold the glory of God, this is what the sure effect will be. You will right now bow and worship God. And for the first time, you'll pray. For the first time, you'll pray. Why do I know that? Because Scripture says the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, the whole goodness of God we're seeing here, the goodness of God we see in the face of Christ Jesus, all His glory, leads us to repentance. When you behold Him, you can't go on looking to yourself and your sin and your rebellion and your self-righteousness and your self-holding. You can't go on that way anymore. You turn and bow. And you worship Him. And when you pray to Him, you pray for the first time. Paul, Lord, when the Lord made Paul see Christ, for the first time, the Lord said He prayeth. And that's what you're praying. Here's our prayer. I pray thee, go among us, for it's a stiff-necked people. When God's made you to know that He has taken up His presence in your heart and He's abiding with you, from then on, your prayer is, Lord, please don't take Your presence from us. Because I'm living in the midst of a stiff-necked people. I need You to keep me. I need You to go with me and keep me. And then you pray this, pardon our iniquity and sin. When you behold Christ, not only do you behold that you live in the midst of a stiff-necked people, you behold you're the chief. And you need forgiveness. And you need pardon. And you start asking God for it. You quit arguing, well, I don't think election's fair. And you quit arguing, well, I don't think it's fair that all our righteousness is worked out by Christ. When He makes you see Christ and how holy and good He is, and how you, then you'll see how sinful you are, and you won't argue about any of that stuff anymore. Now you start saying, Lord, just forgive me my sin. Pardon me, Lord. And He says, and you pray, take me for thine inheritance. And for the sake of Christ, He does all of this. He goes with us. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He forgives us of all our sin. He said, I've cast it behind my back and I'll remember it no more as far as the east is from the west. I've thrown it into the depth of the sea. And nobody can bring it up again and condemn you before me. Who is He that condemneth? It's God that justifieth. And He makes you to know, not only do I take you for my inheritance, in me you've also obtained an inheritance. Because you've been predestinated according to my purpose. And I'm He who works all things after the counsel of my own will. And I've done it that you should be to my praise, that you should glorify me because I'm the one who first trusted Christ to come and save you. And that's what He does. Now let me end with this. Go back to our text. Now Moses saw only the back parts of the living God. That's all he saw. But upon that Mount of Transfiguration, do you remember what happened there? Moses saw Christ face to face on the Mount of Transfiguration. Transformed in all His glory, he saw it face to face. Right now, brethren, we see the glory of God, the glory of the invisible God, through faith in the person of that man, the God-man who walked this earth in our flesh and has now gone to glory. We see God in Him. Because that's how God manifests Himself. But we see through a glass darkly. We know in part. But there's coming a day when we're going to see Him in glory as He is. And when we see Him there, He said when we see Him now, with open face we behold as in a mirror. Seeing through a glass darkly, we behold Christ and we're changed into the same image right now. He gives you a new nature when He makes you behold Him. So that you bow and worship Him and pray unto Him and follow Him now. Now if that image, that view of Him through a glass darkly does that in our hearts now, imagine what it'll be to see Him face to face. God said, then we'll know as we are known. That won't be knowing Him in part. We'll know Him as fully as He knows us right now. And we, when we see Him, we'll be just like Him. Just like Him. Now, that'll make you want to keep following Him, won't it? That'll make you want to persevere in faith, won't it? So while we're here walking through this dark earth, this is what He says to us. He says, "You were sometimes darkness." You once were darkness. He says, but now are you light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. Do you know how foolish it would be? And this is the foolishness of it, really. When men act like they've been called by God and they've seen this glory, and yet they don't care to come hear the gospel preached. They don't have any interest in picking up the Bible. They don't have any interest in following Christ and uniting with His people. They might be fooling God, fooling us, but they're not fooling God. And they're not fooling us. Because you know how foolish it would be to be given this knowledge of Christ and not want more of it? Everybody He gives it to, we want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We want more of this knowledge. And so you know what we do? We use this means right here, this preaching of this gospel that God is pleased to use. And we assemble together and we hear His Word preached and we keep doing it over and over and over. And we go home, we read His Word. Because you know why? He's made us take His yoke upon us and be and submit to learning of Him. And this is how He's pleased to teach us. And so we keep diligently seeking to grow more and more in this knowledge that we first got when He first called us and showed us Christ. Wouldn't it be foolish if I spent all my time engaging in other things and neglected this knowledge? So that's what He's saying to you now. Now you're light. Now walk as children of light. Christ said, Scripture says, in thy light shall we see light. And when He's called you, He's going to use the light of His gospel. He's going to use the light of His word. And He's going to be the light that's teaching you. And as we walk in His light, He's going to give us more light. That's what He promised. That's what He promised. So let's do that. Let's do that. You that haven't believed on Him, I pray He shine now and make you see Him and make you believe on Him. And you that have, keep coming back. Keep asking Him for more light. He'll give it. He'll give it. Let's stand together. Father, we thank You for this precious, precious light. We thank You that You've shined in our hearts and that You've given us an understanding, making us to know You and all Your glory by beholding Christ Jesus, Your Son. Lord, keep us ever looking to Him. Keep us ever hearing Him. Keep us ever submitted to Him. Make us ever walk in His light, seeking to grow in His light from that light. Lord, this we can't pray for more. We want Your presence with us. We want You to forgive us our sin. We want You to keep us in the midst of this dark world. We want You to show us more and more and more and more of Your light. We ask this in Christ the light. Amen. All right, friend. We'll take a short break and we'll come back for the service.